Have you ever considered collaborating with another business owner? You know, someone who offers services or products that complement yours and help make your offering even stronger? But where do you find these dream collaboration partners? And how do you know they're the right fit? Today, I'm chatting with Joe Bellissimo from Grow Masterminds about utilizing the power of collaborations to grow your business. Let's jump into the episode. Welcome to the Marketing ME podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure and find the courage within to step up, show up, and make an impact on the world, while also living a lucrative life and reaching their full potential. And I do this through strategic marketing advice and engaging conversational copywriting at Right Time Marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Joe Bellissimo. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just got to point out, it's so cool. You start out and you're like, here's my radio voice.
I know. Yes, I get accused of that. My husband hates it. He's like, I can't listen to your podcast, Leanne, because that's not your real voice. It's your presenting voice.
I don't know. It's not that different. when you first started, it was like, oh, wow. Yeah. Switched it on.
That's it. I'm on the in the game. So just to introduce who you are to those who don't know you. So Joe is a founder and CEO of Grow Masterminds, which is all about collaboration, which is our topic today. So Joe started his first mastermind in 2017 and it's never looked back. Through connection and education, the team has been making an impact ever since. So they believe it's better to thrive together than to struggle alone. And they host networking meetings, masterminds, as well as accountability and peer groups. So Grow Masterminds also offers online courses on personal and business education. Now, I can't remember how we initially connected, but I have been to one of Joe's sessions and had a great time. It just happened to fall on the frantic bedtime routine in my house. So I did once, but it's definitely something I would look into again because it's a really great vibe in the group. And I know just on the point of accountability, especially when you're a business owner and maybe just working by yourself or a very small team, that can be the biggest issue because look, how I keep myself accountable is often tell the world I'm doing something and then I'm like, well, I'll have egg on my face if I don't actually do it now, so I better do it. But, you know, from week to week, it is really good to have people who've got your back. So I really, yeah, I appreciate what you do. And I'd love you actually to talk more about all what you do right now. So share more about your business journey, how you even got to joining that first mastermind and to where you are today.
Yeah, I can help out with that. Look, it depends how far we go back. I mean, I've been in business since I was 19, right? Not as successful in business as I would have liked to be since I was 19. I started a website selling online car audio parts because I wanted a stereo for my car. I didn't want to pay full price. So instead of paying full price, I went and found the manufacturer and then approached them and they said, you need an ABN and then you need to have a business. And I was like, here's a business. So now you have to sell to me. And I ended up getting cheap gear for my car. And that was the first sort of step into business. And I've been a hobbyist with it for a long time. And it wasn't until the end or sort of the mid of 2017 where things got really quite big, where I had an automotive business at that point where I had actually gotten the opportunity to be sponsored by Kumho. And Kumho was going to come in and build this massive shop for us. Well, life doesn't always turn out the way that you want it to turn out. And I had a business partner at the time. And one morning after having a little bit of a kerfuffle, we had an argument, right? Nothing physical, but we had argued on the phone. I'd found that the email address passwords had changed and the accounts had been emptied out. And all the contracts had been moved out from under my name. Well, that happened a couple of weeks later. But basically, he had just made a decision and said, hey, I'm holding on to a lot of the money. I get to do whatever I want. even though I was the one that built it, I was the one that came up with
it. I've heard that story before. That's why I don't know if I could have a business partner.
You can.
I've heard too many horror stories.
I got a whole thing back here which will teach you how to actually find the right business partner if that's something that you ever want to talk about. I've got a thing for that. So after that, I had a couple of dramas, right? Because, you know, when you spent 3 years and all of your money on a business and started living off credit cards in order to get to a place and bootstrap it, and then the business comes out from under you, well, you're kind of stuffed. Because at that point, I've had my fiance was 4 months pregnant, and we're moving into a new apartment, and she had a car accident that weekend. Yeah, so a lot of things happen in a really condensed period of time. Now, I was lucky that, you know, several months prior to that, I'd started on a journey of self-development. I started getting involved in, I don't know if you've heard of Kervin Ray, things like stuff from Brian Tracy and Jocko Willink and Leif Babin from Extreme Ownership, I forget the name of their company. It's Echelon Now or something, or Echelon Front. So I already started a bit of self-development. And to be honest, a lot of the things that I was arguing about inside my business at the time were related to things that I said, well, our business doesn't have to be this way. I just read this book which says that we're doing it wrong. Can we start looking at some changes? And that kind of friction caused some egos to clash. And that was really the key reason why it all happened. I mean, if you want to work with someone, don't argue with them. And I was sabotaging myself every time I opened up an argument. So my self-development journey had started. So I went into, after losing the business and everything was gone, I was like, oh, I'll be fine. You know, 4 months of depression later, not fine. Not fine.
Yep.
But then I was blessed that I went to a Tony Robbins seminar. So I was lucky to go to that. And I said, okay, I've read all these books about how to level up your life. And I've then had a big issue in my life. And then I've been to a seminar and I said, okay, one of the things that we've learned is proximity is power, right? The people that you hang out with are going to define whether you're successful or not, and what success means to you. So I heard that you could host masterminds, you know, get a peer group together and mastermind some stuff. And I said, okay, well, how might I do that? Because it used to be like, I don't know how to do that. That was my go-to. My go-to became, I don't know how to do that, but if I did know, where would I start? And so then I started thinking like that. And so I said, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to add a bunch of new people to my Facebook, because my Facebook friends are all shit. Facebook friends listening, if you're still my Facebook friends, this is probably not shit. But a lot of them just didn't do anything with their lives. So I said, okay, I'm going to grab new people. So I grabbed 500 people who attended the seminar and added them to my Facebook list. And out of those 500 people, I reached out to a whole bunch of them. And I ended up getting 10 people who came to my house on a weekend. And so every weekend for about 3 months, they would come to my house and we would talk about certain topics, right? Whether it be purpose in life, finances, relationships, health and well-being. And we would all set up an intention for the week and we would track it in a software that I built. And like, because that's just what I felt like doing. So I did it. And over 3 months, we just maintained consistency in going to a seminar, getting buzzed up, learning some new stuff, and then actually deploying and actioning it. And that's how the first mastermind started, basically out of necessity. I decided that I wanted to level up my peer group. So I created an environment where I would grab those people and bring them to me.
And was this a paid mastermind or
that
just?
Wasn't a business at the time. I just felt like doing it.
Yeah, cool.
I didn't.
And where did you find them? Where did you find these people from? From the Facebook.
So when you go to like a lot of these big seminars, when you go to them, mm-hmm. like Tony Robbins seminars or anybody else really, who even Landmark and whatnot, any of these people that run these big events, they will have Facebook groups that they set up, and they'll bring people into those Facebook groups. And what I did was I just found a whole bunch of people that were members of that, because it's like marketing, right? Marketing strategy. You want to get in front of the right kind of people. In that environment, you would find all the kind of people that were my target market, elevated peer group people, or people with the intention of elevating their lives. So if I was to go and reach out to all of them, and once again, marketing a numbers game, if I would reach out to a number of them, keep reaching out, eventually I would find my people, the people that are going to want to come along. And I was blessed that some of the people that I met through there, I still operate with. In fact, one person I do business with, so she's one of my business partners. And another person that I met through that process, 2 years later, gifted me a $5,500 program for learning how to speak better, like to do on-stage speaking and whatnot. Like just out of the blue, just sends me a message. Hey, do you want to try this? Like, sure. And then I find out when I get there, this is worth $5,500. So a couple of Facebook reach outs without any real intention just to help people ended up, you know, getting me a business partner and earning me a course. So it's like, wow, that's some pretty good stuff that happens. So that's the beginning of that journey. And in 2019, I decided to start charging money. And it wasn't until 2020 that I was like, okay, this is now a business. And then Corona hit and it pushed me to go, hey, well, you know, now it's going to be a serious business, right? You're not going to be working anymore in 2021. So you're going to have to figure out what that means. And it's just been a matter of growing and figuring out what the next steps are. And it's just been this wonderful growth journey since.
Awesome. So the people who now join you these days, what type of industries, where are they in their business? Or do they always have a business or just wondering about the next steps in their life? Who are they?
Two different streams, right? So to give some context, you'll like this because this is very much up your alley. I have entrees, mains, and desserts in my business, right? And when I say entrees, mains, and desserts, just because I like food, I choose that analogy. It serves me well. Entree being something you put out into the marketplace that's easily accessible or free or low cost, right? Like a podcast, something that introduces your marketplace to who you are and what you do, and allows you to add value with no expectation of return, right? Just your way to vent your creative energies and get people interested in what you do. So the next one up is your main meal, which is how you deliver products, which, you know, someone like yourself means things like marketing strategy sessions where you mentor people for their marketing strategies. And then there would be some kind of dessert, which could be like some bespoke ultimate package where, you, I don't know, for you, it will be walk into their business and I'm going to sit down with you and not only mentor and coach you, I'm going to talk to your team. I'm going to do everything like start to finish. Here's the team. I'm going to give you three people. They're going to work for you right now. They're going to sit in your office. We're going to get it done. That'll be $3 million, please.
Yes, please. Right. That's your let's do it.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So what I did was I built this entree, main, and dessert structure in my business. And so my entrees are two different types of things. My entrees are a personal development meeting that we run on a Monday at 7:30, which is a bit of how should I say, we do a little bit of connecting and we find a random accountability partner inside the group. So I use these Zoom breakout sessions. We go into this breakout session in pairs and you find an accountability partner and then you go post up what your intention was for the week inside of a Facebook group we created. And we do that for free, right? So that's one thing. So anybody who's looking to level up their lives, they'll come in there and they'll come hang out and they'll find other people that want to do the same. Basically what I found in 2017, but just put online and on steroids. So just the extension of what I was already doing. And that's stream number one. And that leads into mains like online coaching programs and things like that, which are down the track. Once people get to know me and they like my methodology and my messaging, then they'll buy, right? On the other side of things, I've got the business stream and I decided to run a networking meeting. Now, here's where things get fun, right? So networking meeting, pretty normal, right? You come in, you chat with a person, and then you work out, okay, are you a prospect or not? Or are you a referral partner or not? And who can I connect you with? Who can you connect me with? You know, standard sort of stuff. And a lot of the time it can be quite dry. How many networking meetings have you been to that have been a little bit dry?
I think a lot this year as well with online, that's where some struggled with it, how to keep it engaging. I've talked about BX before. So I joined it because I liked how they did online. Like I was engaged the whole time. So, but yes, I've definitely been to some that kind of missed the mark.
Yeah. BX is fun. BX is fun because there's a little bit less structure to it, but they still have some infrastructure. Yeah. Like they've got those little forms and then on those forms you fill them out and then you hand them out at the end of the meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Which is a really cool thing they do. So I looked at my business. I said, okay, what's the best way to do that online? So when people network, I give them a form and when they fill out the form, it emails them and it emails their networking partner. So I leveled up the online networking games. Instead of it just being, hey, let's go and chat. It's like, let's chat. I give a little debrief before, and then when you get in, you got a form, you fill it out and sends it out to everyone, right? But here's where I made some real gold, right? This is what I really, really enjoy about these meetings. I mix the self-development meeting into the networking meeting. So what we do is we actually start the meeting with music and dancing and moving around and having fun, right? Because we don't want to start boring, we want to start fun. So 6 o'clock on a Monday, I get people up, I get them moving, I get them dancing. Let's have some fun. Let's listen to some music. Then we go network with each other and we use the form in order to make sure that we are actually getting a result, because you quite often can lose the person you were talking to. It's like, oh, I spoke to this person. And like, oh, what was their name? What did they do? Oh, I can't remember. So you need to have some sort of structure to help that. And then we do a little mastermind component after that, where we just break out into rooms and we say, hey, who wants to talk about marketing? Go over here. Who wants to talk about people and processes? Go over here. Who wants to talk about creativity, writing books and stuff like that? Go over here. And we do this whole free group where it's not only networking, but it's also masterminding. So you're networking, which is the result you're looking for. I want to make money, so I come to this meeting. But I also want to learn something, so I come to the second half of the meeting where I learn. But I got to have fun while I do it, because so often you just don't have fun in these things. And I said, we're going to dance, we're going to jump around, we're going to have some fun. And the motto for my meetings are make an impact. So it's all about how do we make the most possible impact in these meetings and how do we collaborate and connect, as opposed to I come to a meeting, it's the same thing every time, it's very dry. I don't want that. That's not how I want to run my business. So I just decided not to.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Cause that's what I'm all about too. Cause I run a meetup group once a month, and I've always said to people, look, I'm not just about shoving business cards in hands, and I don't even call it an elevator pitch. I say, just give us a little intro. Who are you? Why are you here? You know, what do you do? And then I have some fun thing, like, what's your favorite toy from your childhood? Or where's your first holiday destination when you can fly anywhere? And little fun things like that to really get to know each other. It's always makes everyone more relaxed as well. They don't know people. And then, you know, then I have the education factor, and always have a presenter talking about something. And I keep it all fun. Like, I don't think I'm a boring person. I'm probably too far to the other end of the scale, but you know, it's, that's what I like in my networking. So like you, I've created that myself. And that's, I mean, yeah, that's when I find a networking group that I really connect with. That's why I stick with it. Cause the connections, you can form connections so much better when you're having fun and you're in that zone. And yeah, so totally get it.
I agree.
Yeah. And so obviously from those connections, and that goes into the collaboration thing we're talking about today, you can find great business collaborations. And I just wanted to get from you, what does an effective or a good business collaboration look like?
Okay. I would say it has to start out with making sure that you're operating, dealing with the right kind of person. Now, my intention behind my business is always to find that next business partner, that next collaborator, that next joint venture partner. And so it goes to the marketing strategy, right? What you would probably be giving me advice on if we were sitting inside of a boardroom is you'd be saying, okay, make sure that you're reaching out to that right kind of person. Right?
We can organize that chat later, Joe. It's all right.
$3 million is the going rate right now.
That's it. I know. You put it in my head now. Like, yeah, go on.
I've opened up the boundaries now. It's like, nope, the $3 million is my going rate. I'm charging 6-minute increments like a lawyer. All right.
Totally. Yeah.
You would start out with identifying that the people that you are talking to and dealing with match your personal values. Very, very important. So I'm lucky that a lot of the stuff that I do, like, this is what's called a values board. I know those listening to a podcast can't see this, but I want you to imagine an A3 sheet of paper, which has a value on it. Like, let's say I value contribution, or I value love, I value connection, right? A value, right? Something that you value, and then a whole bunch of statements around that, as in, what does it mean to you? How do you respect it on a regular basis? And what would you ask yourself? So, like, if I value contribution, how do I ask myself to maintain that value in a daily basis or honor it? I would ask myself, how will I contribute today? Right? So if you understand what your values are, and I'm really blessed that because I've got self-development work in one part of my business and then I've got business on the other, I meet a lot of people through the self-development stream, so I know what their values are. So if you have someone that aligns to your values and is going to operate the same way that you operate, or more importantly, won't operate in ways that you wouldn't operate, which is probably the big thing. They won't.
So no dodgy business. No.
Yes. And dodgy is not universal, right? One person's definition of dodgy is different to another person's. But really what you're saying is the thing that you're doing right now is not in alignment. It's incongruent with my personal values. And therefore, I feel that it's dodgy, right? So what you'll find is if you're dealing with people that share similar values to you, right? Once again, unfair advantage. If I put someone through a program that finds that out and I know what their values are, really easy for me to find business partners and people to bring on board as joint venture partners because I know who they are. You find someone who matches your values. It's step one. And once you find someone that matches your values, then you've got to understand what the key, I wanted to say motivators, but that's not really where I want to go with this. It's the key strengths or the personality, the way that person works. So for instance, I'm very much a futurist. I'm very much an activator. I'm not a doer.
Yeah, right? Those are two things on my Gallup. My Gallup thing, Gallup's, profiling. Yeah. Have you got, yeah. Did you do Speakers Institute training? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I did it. So,
yeah, they rock.
Yeah, so that number one for me is strategic. Hence the reason I'm moving into that. Then futuristic, activator, positivity, learner. They're mine.
Yeah. Activator, futuristic, focus, arranger, relator. Awesome. So, yeah, you can tell why people do certain things in their businesses according to that, right?
Yes, I have it on my whiteboard because when I got it and, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before, but when I got it, I'm like, strategic, really? Because straight away I think strategic, like, analytics, numbers, and that is so not me. But then when I started thinking about it, I'm like, no, I am very organized. I love deep diving, going, all right, here's the plan and mapping things out. And I'm like, yeah, actually that is me. So, futuristic, I'm always thinking about what's future Leanne going to look like? What's where I want to go in the business. I'm always striving to something else. So once you kind of go into each of them, you're like, yeah, that's right. Like,
yeah, so then, not looking up. You're congruent. As an activator, as a futurist, the thing here is I can go, if I'm working with someone that is a grinder, someone who will get the work done and will sit down and make it work, great. They're a perfect business partner and collaborator for me because I'm going to put a big idea forward. And I often do this. I've done this in about two iterations now so far in my business where what I'll do is I'll say, this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to do all this. And then I'll do this massive expansion. And everyone's like, I'm so confused. I don't know where to go. Like this is, I can't keep up with you. And then I'll contract it, right? Because I can't manage it. Because it's like, I just did too much. I can't do this.
That's me too. I'm always like, this is like a podcast. But this is, and everyone's like, what the hell? You're doing so much. I'm like, yeah, but I love it. It's I need variety in my life.
Yeah,
but I can't physically do it all. It's true.
So I'll go and expand, and then I'll come back down, and then by that point, everybody's kind of over, like being upset. They're like, "We've caught up. Like where we are now is like five steps ahead of where we're going to be anyway." I'm okay with this because I've set like the bar up here, and then we've landed over here, and it's like, well, this isn't a big deal. I'm fine with this. And it just seems to work out quite well. So when I'm working with those kinds of people that are the grinders, my job, my role is to continuously demonstrate the vision and be able to push forward. Because otherwise they'll get stuck doing the doing on a small level. I've got to step in because that's my responsibility as a futurist, as an activator. My job is to think big. Right. So that's where you can match those personality traits in and who a person really is to that. Now, one of the key things as well is something that we spoke about on the live stream before this, which is you also like I'm not a nitty gritty guy when it comes to some of the details here. I'm kind of hey, we got to suck it and see before we can do anything. And to repeat what was the part there, because not on this podcast, but it was about a comment a business partner said to me when we were talking about building up different parts of our business. Let's argue from other sides of the marina on our yachts. Like, let's do that because in a good business partnership, you're not going to be wasting resources on ideas. You want to be dealing in realities. So you might as well go and start something. Make the parts work a little bit, see what it looks like. And if you're dealing with someone who's flexible like that, who also aligns to your values, well, that person's not going to screw you, right? well, maybe won't screw you. Everyone has the capacity to screw everyone else if they wanted to. But if you've done the homework to make sure the person you're dealing with aligns to your values, you're not going to have those sorts of challenges as a general rule of thumb. So that, at that point, you can then go, okay, great. We now have $100,000 project here, right? There's some money to be had. We agreed to XYZ beforehand. And if two people are in alignment and they're happy they're making money, they're likely to, you know, make it proper, sign some proper paperwork, make it work. And I know that that's not going to be popular with some people because they'd be like, no, I'm not going to invest any of my time without getting it all down on paper. I can't do it. But for someone like me, I'm like, I'm not going to sit down with you and work out the details here because like we have to go and make something to have details about. Like yes. Our ideas are not necessarily going to manifest in reality. We could plan and strategize for 1,000 years here, but what we've got to do is we've got to take some action. So what we want is we want the fundamentals of an idea, right? We want a strategy, all right? We want to get a strategy behind it, and then we go and take some action, and then we go walk in knowing that at some point we have to put the next stage in place. Like in one of my business relationships right now, we said, okay, great. Here's what we've got to do. Let's make it to this project here. Let's make it to $10,000 a month. We have foundationally, I've already got agreements for revenue shares up until that point. Then let's sit down and say, okay, we're here now. We have enough money here where, you know, if something goes wrong, we're actually going to be genuinely upset about it. Right. Cause that's, you know, enough money to pay for school tuition and it's enough money here to pay for another car for the year. Okay. This is enough where I think maybe we should invest in properly sorting it out. Right. But we didn't want to go spend a lot of time working out beforehand because what if we never started? Then we've just invested so much money in doing stuff without any result. Like,
yeah, I know a lot of people are guilty of that. They're like, oh, I've got to get my full business plan together, I get all this sorted before I do XYZ. And like I mentioned to you also off air that I was talking to someone today and he hasn't started any of his marketing because back of mind he's thinking he wants to change his branding, change his business name. And so that's just been like the story he's told himself, a procrastination tool to not actually do anything. Mm-hmm. Whereas I said, but ultimately people is in property. People know you, they know your name. They may know your business name. They probably don't care what your business name is. They just want to hear from you. So just get onto social media, get onto LinkedIn, get those emails out from you and change your business name later on. Probably no one will even notice because it's you. You haven't changed. It's just a couple of words in your business. So I agree with that. Like I'm very much a doer. I know people are like, oh, I've got to just get this plan. I don't actually have a business plan written down. It's all kind of in my head and I know roughly where I want to go, but I like to look out for opportunities and go, yeah, I just never know where things are going to go. And I get inspired by things and go, yeah, actually, like, you know, the level up thing you were talking about. Right now I'm in that headspace going, yeah, no, I thought I was leveling up before, but no, I could go to a whole nother level, but I've got to start somewhere. Let's just try this. I'm trying, Black Friday offers. I'm trying these webinars. I'm trying, launch a mastermind this year. So this kind of stuff, I'm like, I've just got to give it a go, start working towards it. You can always improve on it and then, you know, go back and do your trademarking and put things in writing if you need to. But yes, you need to actually start to have a product or service to work with.
Totally. I who's going to steal your book title? You know what I mean? like if you have a name for a book and you're like, cool, someone might steal that. It's like, probably, but there's probably lots of books with the same names anyway. Like nothing's unique or original anymore. Right. And what people are paying for in the marketplace right now, as far as I can tell, they're paying for execution and expertise. They're not really paying for the knowledge or the information because you can Google knowledge. Knowledge is cheap now. Knowledge is cheaper than it's ever been. But execution and how to apply knowledge, like that's valuable. People don't have that in business right now. It's like you can Google like my lighting setup here, right? I'm sure you could jump on Google and you can go and buy a $140 light box from Amazon and you can, I got a TV, you can buy a TV, you can buy a Logitech brew, you can buy the arms, right? But what took time and energy was making sure that all this connected, it worked right, it was usable for my standing desk and my sit down desk, all that sort of stuff. If I go now and I put together an online course for that, well, that's now not just the knowledge of like you can use what you can do, but like, hey, I'm going to show you a video of how you're going to set it up. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then sit down with you for a session to really roll it out. It's like, oh, okay. So you're going to hold my hand. Okay, cool. Yeah, now I'll buy that. Like, that's what people want to do now. I don't think it's just about the knowledge anymore. It's definitely about execution, bit of hand holding and application. How do you take that knowledge and do something with it?
I agree. I think that's why we like with content marketing. I say, you know, you're putting out all these blogs and don't worry about giving out that free content because it is just really a teaser. If they really need help, they're going to want to get you on board. Like, they can't do everything themselves, especially if it's something beyond their skill level or, you know, or don't have time. They're going to bring you in, but they need to know you exist for one and build up that trust and everything like that. So, yeah, 100%. And so so you found you've aligned. So you have like a survey or something to work out if your values align with a potential collaboration partner. Is that right?
Yeah. It's tough sometimes, right? Because this is actual coaching work. I'm just really blessed that the people that I work with tend to have come from that. Let me just think about this for 1 second right now. Is anybody that I'm currently doing business with not done? I think one person hasn't actually done my work with me. Yeah. So how would you apply that? Let's just think about that for a second. If I didn't have a self-development arm of my business and I was just in my line of work, how would I use something like that? And I guess if I was to tell you to build something, this is just off the top of my head from this conversation right now. I would go and let's say, ask about a specific example of something that happened in your life or their life. You'd come up with how that would serve you and how would you handle it, right? That's the kind of stuff, because what I do in this, I'll actually just go and get this right now. So that's my actual workbook. Right. So if I go to the value section in here to actually work out the questions that you would be asking in a proper coaching session, I'll be asking, what's the most difficult thing you've ever done? What's the most enjoyable thing you've ever done? What's the longest commitment you've ever kept? What's the most significant commitment you're willing to let go? And then I want to understand the situation. I want to understand what exactly happened, like why, like let's say, what's the most significant commitment you're willing to let go? Why did you let it go? Because I got to figure out like either what of your values was being transgressed or which of your values was being honored. There's something in there. There's a deeper reason why you did certain things. And if I ask enough of those questions, then I can figure out the deep driving motivators of an individual, why they operate. If I know that, then you can predict behavior, right? If I'm dealing with someone whose value is contribution, they're not going to be concerned about giving away content. If I'm dealing with someone who's behaved in an honest way their entire life, well, then I know they're less likely to screw me over. So I would say you would choose whatever's comfortable to you about either a life experience they've experienced and get more into it, like, you know, something like that, like what's the most difficult thing you've ever done? Or what's the commitment that you've willingly let go, like a long commitment? Like if you were married for a decade and then you got a divorce, that a decade's a long commitment. Why? And a lot of the times what comes out of it is that, let's say it was dishonesty. Let's say it was for infidelity. You'll find that honesty was being transgressed. And so the behavior of actually, let's say, ending that relationship is actually an honoring of the value of honesty. So you can use someone's life experiences if you're savvy with the way that you're asking them questions. And once again, completely up to the individual listening as to how they would apply that in their particular circumstances. You find from that experience, that decision-making process that person made, what was being honored and what was being transgressed. And that kind of behavior should repeat itself in future decisions. And that's what you're looking for in a collaborator or a business partner or a joint venture partner. You want to figure that out. And so the more you know about them and particularly the decisions they've made that have been more challenging when, you know, it hasn't been logical, it's been emotional, that's where you'll get how they're going to operate. That's what I feel that would be the first approach.
Yeah. So it is ultimately someone who is going to be very much involved in your business. So for me, for example, in marketing, it'd be going to someone who's in branding or SEO and say, look, I want you to be my core, you know, white label, person I work with, and then I ask them those types of questions just to see if we are the right fit. Is that the kind of example of when I would use like this questioning, interviewing type thing?
I would say if they get scared away from you doing that, then they're not really that invested in working with you. Because I'm thinking about that for a second, like, oh, maybe I'd be a little bit uncomfortable with that. But then at the same time, those who share your values, who would have the like, they would think this is that important that I need to know exactly who I'm dealing with. And I'm willing to take you down a pathway of actual self-development workbook. So to go through this, like, I need to know really who you are. Like, you care. And if someone's scared away by that caring, it's like, okay, well, so be it. Because, you know, if this is who I am and how I operate, and then I've tried this, and then you're not willing to play the game with me and play ball, well, then what's going to happen when things get a bit harder later on down the track? Like, let's get rid of the people that aren't going to be our people, right? If you're not my tribe, let loose, right? You're not that you're not the person that's going to actually be involved in my business. So you can go. Somebody else is out there, because, you know, 7-8 billion people in this world right now. You know, the right person exists to suit you and your business. You don't have to take the first person that comes along.
I love it. Yeah. So obviously, yeah, I've done these type of questions in interviews for jobs, and it's the same kind of thing. You're just kind of working out if you are the right fit. Because if you are, for example, you're collaborating, you're going to hand over your clients to this person to handle a certain aspect. It's still, you're associated with it. So you need to make sure that everyone's on the same page, and they're going to treat your client the same way you would treat them and everything like that. So yeah, I 100% agree. So like when I was hiring my VA, and you know, I was told, yeah, great to have scenario questions. So yeah, you can have things like, oh, tell me a bit more about you, and you know, do you prefer working morning or night, and those kinds of things. But ultimately it was suggested that I do ask, you know, what would you do in this scenario, just to kind of get a feel of how they would act and behave and know if I agree with that and that would align with me. So yeah, I really like that. And so your collaborations, who are they? Like, so I just got the example of I'm working with, you know, say an SEO branding person. Who do you collaborate with?
Here's some context. Entree, main, dessert, and beverages. Perfect.
You gotta have drinks.
Yes, that's right. So your collaborators are your beverages. So there's two different ways that I like doing that. The first way is that I'll have someone that actually delivers product with me. So for instance, Jo Jackson, who's a high performance coach, she actually started out as being a personal development client. So she participated in one of my personal development products. She shifted over and started participating in one of my business products. And from there, going through that journey, I decided that she would then go back and run my personal development product, right? Because you look at it's like, okay, you've come to me for this, you come to me for that. You're totally on board with this sort of stuff. We've known each other for a while now. You can take it over, because I know that this person is going to actually deliver a better job than I would in that environment, because she's a high performance coach. I'm not. So doesn't it make sense that I would get the high performance coach to run my personal development product? It's just synergistic. It makes sense. So sometimes we'll go through and we'll start collaborating with regards to a product that we'll offer. And how I run those is, I, from a systems point of view, I'm like a system guy as well. Like, I can just develop the system. Like, for instance, if someone joins a program, what they'll do is they'll join an online course. That online course actually hooks up to an affiliate system, which automatically pays the person involved. So I can set up a system where we can deliver the product together, but I'll handle all the payments. I'll handle all the infrastructure. You just got to show up and do what you're good at, right? That's, once again, going back to strengths. Yeah. Like, I can see a big vision of things, so I can develop a system. Like, if I can't draw it on a whiteboard, I don't want to do it. So I could draw the whiteboard out and I could say, here, I'm on the whiteboard right now. I've designed this. Great. I can deploy that. I can activate it, because I'm an activator. We activate it, and then you come and you just do what you're good at. And so that's one way we could do it. Well, I have a service in my business that I like other people to do. And I do that on a couple of different things. I've got a wonderful woman named Teddy, and she's an empowered parenting coach. And so I did the same thing. She's coming to my ecosystem. And then what we've done is we've just deployed it under my branding, my infrastructure, my systems. Now she runs her own mastermind based upon how I run my masterminds, because it's like, here's a playbook. Right? Just run it, because you match my values. You've gone through this entire journey with me. I'm totally comfortable with you dealing under my banner. Right? So in that case as well, same thing. I can handle the payment infrastructure. I can automatically pay people out. And then the big thing that small business owners, especially solopreneurs, don't like to do, the accounting, it is a lot easier, because you just get one payment according to who you sign up. It all just works itself out in the background. that's one way I like to do business, where I just add products and I bring people in and they basically become business partners slash employees practically slash clients. Like they become all in one. So that's one way that I like to do things. Another way that I like to do things is when it comes to beverages. And on the beverages side of things, for instance, Tremaine. Tremaine is an awesome member of our team. And basically, he runs a business where he does outsourcing. But here's the deal. I don't do outsourcing in my business. And I really don't have an interest in adding outsourcing to grow masterminds in the current term, right? Unless I got him to do it for me, right, as a white label, like you've just described, in which case that becomes something that's in the business, but I just don't actually touch it. One thing that I do with him with regards to a beverage is that I can bring him on board, and then I can go and get, let's say, a commission for referring him onto people. So he'll come into my ecosystem. He becomes a guest speaker very often. He'll help people. He'll add value for free. The benefit to him is that as people come in, who am I going to refer people to who need to get a virtual assistant? Straight back out to him. And so it's not really part of my business, but he gets paid for the work that he does for free because he's eventually going to find a prospect come through and he's going to actually make some money out of it, right? So that's where it's either embedded in the business and they've come through through products or services, and you find ways to empower the people that have come through your business to actually work with you. Because if they liked you enough to buy from you, they probably want to be part of it if given the opportunity, right? If they're the right kind of person. And on the other side, if you've got a person that's completely disaligned from what you're doing with regards to day-to-day work, like it's just not your day-to-day work, but they are aligned to your client and you share the same kinds of clients, we'll just bring them in and set up some sort of affiliate structure with them. Right, that's the two channels that I like to go down. And each one serves its own need, right? Its own requirement. Each person has their own need of what they're looking for.
Yeah, so I've pretty much done the latter with, I have, you know, a couple of website designers who I often recommend, or people who do SEO, or recently there's been a few requests come through of, how do I set up an online course? And I know someone who, you know, is an online course coach. So then I go, oh, I'll refer you and everything like that. And quite often, it depends actually. Some instances I ask for a 10% referral fee just because they've done no marketing. They come through me, I've flicked them on, and if, you know, it goes through. I do try to do that. Just, I mean, usually it's only a small thing, but it's just a little token of thanks.
Energy exchange. Keeps the wheels moving.
Exactly. I've done that a fair bit, and that's where I want to eventually build up to have a team. And so it'd be more like the first section you were talking about. They're more embedded in like my organization. So they still have their own businesses or are,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I like that idea of they still have their own business, but I can rely on them to do X, Y, Z in my business. I'll have to pick your brain more about how that works. But yeah, that sounds really good. And like you said, you get to know them through your coaching. So that's, you naturally find out if you're aligned through that, because you'll probably deep dive quite deep in your coaching sessions and really get to know them and then know if they're the right fit from that. So makes sense.
Yeah. One other thing is pay people well. Right? Find ways to pay people well. Like some of my commission structures like are 50-50. Some commission structures are 10%. Very few of them are 10%. Some of them, well, most of them I aim for is 30, right? 30%. Because I'm just like, at the end of the day, I wouldn't have this money anyway. And, you know, you can get stuck in things like multi-level marketing things where, you know, am I an MLM? Because in MLM, you make a little bit of money, but it's all about this volume, right? And you're not really, they say you're a business partner, but you're not really a business partner. You're just a piece of the puzzle, just helping out a little chunk of it, right? And I look at it, I'm like, if someone's genuinely going to invest their time in helping me out and we're actually going to, you know, work on this together, like if you want to grow my business, let's pay you well to do it, so that if you do get a client, well, I want to make it not just a token. I want to make it substantial. And so you'll do it again and again and again. And it's all about, from my business's point of view, it's about how do I get in with more people? More people come to my meetings, more people attend masterminds, more people buy services off me. It's a volume thing. Because then it maximizes the impact I can create on bigger levels. So it doesn't make sense for me to really care that much about withholding revenue. Spending 30% on marketing is not really a big drama to me because it's congruent with what I'm looking to achieve, which is make an impact. In all of our meetings, we say make an impact. That's our motto. That's what we scream at the end of each meeting, make an impact. And so if you want to do that, I'm not going to make an impact with 10%. And right, so I'm not looking for the my people, they might only be looking for the token, or they might not be looking for anything, but I feel it's important that I'm going to make an impact with them and I'm going to pay them well. So that's one thing that I've deployed in my business, which is, if I want this to be consistent to happen often, especially people that are doing business with me who have come up as clients, I want to give it back. You give me the money, how do I give you the money back? Because if I give it back to you, it means you've just made me much more than what I've given back. And I don't want people to feel like, oh, he's just taking me for a ride. Because I hear that feedback from a lot of people. It's like, oh, you know, I brought customers to all these people and they don't look after me, and then they disappear. And they never help them again. And they never tell the person, oh, it's because you didn't pay me enough for it. They never say it, right? So I'm like, no, let's pay people well. It'll work out better in the end. It'll be painful to start with. But it'll work out better in the end is my idea around this. Whether or not it's a good idea or not, find out if I'm in business in 12 months and we'll know.
I love that. I also heard someone recently said they give them vouchers. So like my voucher, or like if you fill a my voucher or something as tokens, say thank you. And, so it's a voucher rather than just money. It's like something that, oh, and then they can have this experience of shopping and buying something that associate with that, you know, that collaboration that took place. Mm. So I do like that. I mean, I'm at this point in time, I'm usually the one sending people to other people, but I know in time it will come back to me. So I'm just, I love helping. I love being a connector. And that's, I guess, why I love the networking thing. I'm often thinking, oh, who do I know that could help you out? And I love knowing that I've empowered that person to take the next step in their business. So I don't mind if it comes back to me. I know, you know, karma, it'll happen naturally, or they might become a client, or who knows. But yeah, I love just helping people find those connections, because I've met so many different people in different industries that do so many interesting things. And I've already had a whole bunch in this podcast. And yeah, I just love going, oh, you don't know that kind of person? I'm the exact person who can help you out. And usually for me personally, with referrals and things, I do personally know that person, whether I've not done business, but I do actually know them and see the alignment and values with me. So that's usually what I do. I don't know if you do the same.
Yeah, I'm actually coming up to a place now where I'm knowing less and less of the people that I'm referring, because the volume of connections that I'm making is making it far more difficult to make meaningful connections as I prefer. I'm also mindful that, hey, that's your problem, Joe. Get over it, right? Just because you want to have deeper, meaningful relationship with your clients and prospects doesn't mean that that's the best way to achieve maximum impact. And your job in this world is to create maximum impact. So one of the labels I have for one of our meetings is called the Futurepreneurs Networking Meeting. And a futurepreneur is someone who wants to make a positive impact in the world, is comfortable working online, and loves to collaborate. Now, as a futurepreneur, it's important for me to make impact, connect with multiple people, and do good things. Is it important for me to go really, really deep in relationship? It's actually not. That's me personally, but that doesn't actually help me achieve my maximum impact. And so I'm in a little bit of an internal incongruence, which is like I have to make impact, but also I want to make more meaningful connections. But it's also like, but if I don't, I'm like,
Don't have time to meet everyone really intimately. Yeah.
What's going to happen, right? You think Bezos knows every one of his customers, but he makes maximum impact. So it's like I've spoken to myself about this before, and I've just been like, Joe, sometimes you've got to get over it, right? So like if the you who got you here right now was perfect, you wouldn't be where you are. You'd be on a couple billion dollars. So it's time to just stop and say, cool, I have the choice of how I think, how I operate, how I live my life. And at this point, it may not be serving me to think that way. Get over it, Joe. Do what's important, which is making maximum impact, because that's how you help people in the world, by making more positive impact.
Ah, love it. I love it. And so that's, yeah, been really great information. Great for me as well, just thinking about where I'm going to level up and how collaborations could work. So I ask this question for all my guests, and it is, how do you manage your health and wellness?
Cool. My answer to that is usually inadequately, right? Typically it's inadequately. I'm at a stage of what you might call, I was going to say informed ignorance. Like there's a word for this, a way to describe it. We're basically, there's non-awareness where you just don't think about your health. There's awareness, but not really doing a great job. And then there's like on point. And at this point I'm in the middle where, I, for instance, will actively work on it. Right. In fact, the latest thing that I've been thinking about and actually working out in my life is, I believe that my body wants to be healthy, right? So if I believe my body wants to be healthy, what's the challenge here? And the challenge is that if I don't make the space for my body to do the things that it wants to do in order to be healthy, then I'm not going to be healthy. And so it takes you down a bit of a rabbit hole. We ask the question, okay, well, look, to be honest, if I had nothing else to do, well, then I could sit down and, you know, go, okay, I'm going to do a workout schedule and I'm going to go do this. Like I had an idea the other day. Well, I've gone on like 5-day fast before. And I said, how could I do that better? Why don't I go on a 5-day fast and then go for a walk and a hike? And it'd be really easy to go on a 5-day hiking fast because you only need to carry water. So it'd be easier for you to travel. So it's like, this actually makes a lot of sense. But then where's the 5 days? And then you think about that for a second. Okay, great. But this is a good quality problem. And so the real thing here of how to look after your physical and mental health when it comes to being in a business, it always comes down to the space. If you're always busy, you're always going to be challenged to maintain it. It's important for you to step back and say, hey, all these things that I'm doing, what's really important? What can I shed? I got to get rid of it because I know that I naturally want to be healthy. I'm not intentionally eating unhealthy food at 9 p.m. at night. It's because I'm stressed out about something. How do I not be stressed out about something? Well, number one, do better in my business, which isn't always the case because then if you do better in your business, you have more problems to deal with. So the problems never go away.
Different ones, yep.
That's right. What you want is you want space. You don't want to be constantly grinding and hustling. Like I'm an anti-hustler, anti-grinder. I'm like, I don't believe in it. I don't think it really works.
Yep,
you're basically successful in spite of the fact that you're working your body down, not because of the fact that you're working your body down. Right? That's really the core of it. So I believe that to look after health and well-being, you have to make the space. Because when you make the space, you can start to think of constructive ideas on how to actually move forward. So I would like to go on a fast, again, go another 5-day, because that's one way I look after my health, eating ketogenically. But then you look at okay, I ate ketogenically for like a month. Why did I stop? Because I didn't make space to continue with it. It's extra work in order to eat ketogenically. And then I let the space get eroded by work stuff and personal stuff. And so you don't do it. And so you want to hit the core of it. Don't look at it and go, okay, I've got to go on the next diet. Go like, well, why did I drop off the last diet? Why didn't I make the space in my life to be able to do it? And then you just keep working backwards. And it really comes down to you have to make the space in order to do the things you know is important to you or are important to you, but you don't do them because everything else starts filling in these gaps.
Yes, so you can't exercise in the gaps. Oh, well, you know, I'll do that on my lunch break. No, well, you have to eat at some point. And then you have that client not long after. So like, no, for me, I mean, going for my runs, like in the morning, like 6 o'clock kind of things, because then I know I've done my exercise for the day. Yes, I'll go for a walk at school, drop off, whatever, but I've created that space. And I had it in a previous episode, we interviewed Linda Dyer, talked about detoxing. And I'd heard about this thing of having steamed vegetables, you know, lunch and dinner and steamed fruit or whatever for breakfast 3 days in a row. But I hadn't created the space. I hadn't gone out and bought the right ingredients to actually make it happen. And I kind of told myself this story of, but then the kids will see me not eating the same thing as them and they don't care. They'd have pasta every day. Like they don't care what I'm eating. So I did it. I did my first month and I want to make that a regular monthly thing because I did feel really good. I did lose a kilo, not that I need to lose weight, but I need that cleanse with my body. So I totally agree with that, making the space and making it happen and not just going, yeah, it'll work itself out.
No. Yeah, it doesn't. Nothing. Well, I was going to say nothing works itself out, but that's a limiting belief. Most things actually do work themselves out. However, when it comes to your health and well-being, if you're consistently doing the things that have put you in a place where your health and well-being is challenged, you'll continuously get worse, right? You're either improving or you're declining, and you'll continue to decline until you decide to improve, and then you just got to be consistent with it. In fact, talking about 6 a.m., here's an interesting thing that I started doing. I run a 6 a.m. meeting every single day, a 6 a.m. meeting every single day for everybody that's involved in my business, whether they're a client of a free product or a paid product or an employee, whoever they are. They can come at 6 a.m. into a Zoom room. And in that Zoom room, what we do is we talk about our one important thing for the day. So we state that intention and then we go out and do it. Now, here's where this becomes really, really interesting if you look at the background to this. If I want to be on camera, right, like this, at 6 a.m., I have to be up at 5:30 a.m. I have to get ready. I have to get dressed. I have to work out before I have my shower. Otherwise, what's the point, right? So I exercise gets done. After exercise gets done, self-care gets done. Then I get on camera. The first thing I do in the morning in a meeting is I serve my people, right, my tribe, is looking for extra support. That's why they show up. So I'm doing my life's work first thing. And then because I'm out of that meeting at 6:15, before 9, I'm sitting in front of a computer. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I have those emails to check and get that sorted out. Or I had that course to build and I just go, okay, great, let's go do it. So I've become more productive. And what we call that at Grow is called feeding many birds with one seed. Right, not killing two birds at one stone, but feeding many birds with one seed. Because you can say feeding many birds with one seed, not kill two birds, many. So it's like, how many different things can I get in there? And it's open and it's a non-aggressive act. So when you're talking about it, you're talking in terms of nurturing as opposed to aggression. And so when you start thinking like that, it's an amazing part of how when you change the words that you say, it changes the way that you think, which changes the way that you live. And so that was really cool that one comment from one of my good friends, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, whenever it was when she brought that up, from whoever she found it out from, I started using it. And then it started manifesting in different behaviors, like waking up at 6 a.m. in order to serve me and my people and feeding many birds with that one seed. But I couldn't think of feeding many birds at one seed because it never quite clicked, because you never had the language around it. Like, how do you say that in another way? Nothing that's as elegant or as poignant as that. So it just started to click. Things just start to make sense when you change the way that you talk.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, the mindset stuff. I love all that stuff. All of that. You change thinking one certain way and this opens your mind up, like the leveling up thing, going, why am I saying, I often catch myself saying limiting beliefs to myself. I'm like, hey, why am I thinking that? And then I go reflect on it, go, oh, actually, that isn't true. No, you can believe this instead. And so even like this podcast, I guess it's I get a lot of value from it because I learn a lot, but then that seed, many people listen to the episode and they all get fed. There you go. I used it. So how can people connect with you, Joe?
Easiest way is growmasterminds.com. So I was really pleased with that one. Full disclosure, to be honest, I came up with that idea while I was sitting on a seat. And just keep in mind, I was sitting on a seat, not in a chair. Yeah. Where most people hang out on their phones in the morning. So that came to mind, and I'm really happy with that name because it just embodied everything. Grow Masterminds. What do? We host masterminds to help you grow. And what else do I do in my business? I grow my masterminds. Like, it just is totally what we do.
No-brainer.
You go to growmasterminds.com. Facebook and LinkedIn are just my name, Joe Bellissimo. We can probably just put links to that and whatever, however you put the content out there.
Yep, we'll do in the show notes. Yep.
The big thing here is that I invite anybody who feels like they might be our people, come to our free meetings. Come to our personal development meetings Monday night, Sydney time at 7:30. And at 6 p.m., we run our business networking meetings. And they're like a party. Right, it's a free party that we hold every Monday, one for business, one for personal development. It's awesome. And I want more people in there because that's where I'm going to meet my next business partner. My next business partner is 110% going to be attending one of those meetings. They're going to see who I am. I'm going to see who they are. We're going to talk again after that meeting, sometime after that, we're going to have a project together. Like, it's so obvious and so easy. Once, like, as I've done it before, it's just a repeating process. So if you're listening and you are my next business partner, even if you don't know it yet, come to the meeting. All right, choose one, business or personal development, or come to both, like many people have, and let's go have some fun, and hopefully one day we'll do business.
Love it. I'll get the links from you as well for those, yes, so people can register, and I'll put that in the show notes as well. But thank you so much, Joe. That was a really great insight, and it's given me some ideas. And I'm sure there's, yes, if you have any questions, listeners, 100% connect with Joe. And yes, you could very well be his next business partner. Very exciting. But yes, so thank you for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. And if you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and a review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. And if you're interested in connecting with me, just reach out via LinkedIn, search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you listen to the podcast. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, or book in a free 30-minute discovery call. And until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.